to grow movements and braid narratives oriented toward liberation and decolonization.
Thank you both so much for joining us today. My guests have been Trevor Smith, co-founder, executive director, and collective member of Bliss Collective. Emmy Aguilar is the director of membership and radical collaboration at Bliss as well. Bliss stands for Black Liberation Indigenous Sovereignty. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar, host and executive producer of Rising Up with Sonali, an independently produced subscriber-supported program nationally syndicated to radio stations, free speech, TV, and podcast platforms.
Tuned in to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
Hi, this is Cecil Prescott. Celeste Carey and I are the co-hosts for More Talk Radio, which airs on KBOO FM 90.7 on Mondays at 8 a.m. For 30 years, Celeste and I have been encouraging and engaging interviews and conversations about politics, social issues, and things which concerns you, your family, and your community. Join us on Mondays at 8 a.m. and be a part of this community radio experience.
KBOO Community Radio is now on Venmo. Follow us and send a donation anytime at KBOO Radio. That's at KBOO Radio. Thanks.
Good evening. This is welcome to Once Upon a Time. This is our first show at this time of the evening. My name is Consuelo, and I am going to be your hostess. And tonight I am very, very happy to have a wonderful guest called Joseph. He's a musician, and he is going to enlighten us with his music. Some of the songs are his own composition, and we will talk about autobiography because this is the main subject of the show. And but in relation to him, his life, his music, and how much music is part of our life, and also how much music bring memories. We know after so many research that people with some kind of brain damage, if they listen some music, they do remember, perhaps not the name of the piece, but the accord of the music. So music as word are healing and give it to us by our talent. Okay, Joseph, nice to have you. So I would like you to introduce yourself.
Oh, thank you, Consuelo. I'm delighted to be here. My name is Joseph Dane. I am a full-time musician and part-time software engineer. And I am very excited to be here.
Yeah, can you tell us before we start listening to you, and how did you start your relationship with music?
Well, I was born in a religious cult called the Children of God, and so we used music a lot for our proselytizing and fundraising efforts. So I've been performing on the street and in shows since I was probably 2 years old. singing and dancing.
Yeah.
And I picked up the guitar when I was 11 and basically taught myself how to play because, you know, it was a cult. So we didn't have a lot of movies or books or video games. So I was bored. So I taught myself how to play guitar.
So nobody in your family play any instrument? So it was you who start playing? I mean, who learned? You learned by yourself?
No, my mom and my dad both play guitar little bit.
Yeah.
And I have an older brother who's a very talented guitar player and songwriter. And I also have a younger sister, two younger sisters who play guitar, and one of them is also a talented songwriter.
Nice. So we have a family, a complete family, mm-hmm. very talented family.
Yeah.
I want to remind our audience that our phone number, our line are open for you to give us a call and ask Joseph whatever you want or comments or tell your own story. Our phone number is 503-231-8187. And tell us, Joseph, how old were you when you started playing the guitar? You said more 11?
I was about 11 years old, yeah.
Yeah, and what kind of music did you like at that time?
Well, I was playing mostly...
Only religion music, I mean, or...
Yeah, I was playing mostly religious music until when I was 15. My family left the cult and moved up here to Oregon.
Oh, okay. So you have been here since you were 15 years old,
more or less. Well, I've also moved around a lot.
So where? To where?
It's a long story. It might be shorter to tell you the places that I haven't lived in.
No, tell us.
At 15,
bit.
I went to high school and university here in the Portland area.
Yeah.
And then after about a year after graduating from university, I moved to New York City. And I lived there for 6 years, California for 1 year, and then moved to Mexico for about 4 years, where I was working as a musician. I was the lead singer of a classic rock cover band called The Black Sheep, doing a lot of solo gigs. I think got kind of bored of living in paradise, and I decided I wanted to do more of my own original music and kind of wanted to try to find an audience for that. So, and I also wanted to be closer to my family, but not too close. So I moved to Seattle, and I lived in Seattle for almost 6 years.
Very good. Tell us a little bit about the first song that you are going to sing, the name and...
Well, I think since we're on the topic of all the places I've lived, I actually wrote a song about that. It's called Everywhere is Home.
Oh, nice title.
Mm-hmm. When people ask me where I'm from, I don't know what to say. I've never lived for very long any single place. My parents had the wandering bug and passed it on to me. And I don't care much where I stay, as long as I stay free. I don't know where I came from, but I know who I am. I don't know where I'm going, but I know where I stand, and I may never cease my wandering, but I'll never be alone, 'cause I know all the world's my family, and everywhere is home. Normal way, a house, a job, a wife, but I couldn't shake the feeling I was living someone else's life. And so one day I packed my bag and kissed it all goodbye, to walk the only path I know beneath the open sky. I don't know where I came from, but I know who I am. I don't know where I'm going, but I know where I stand. And I may never cease my wandering, but I'll never be alone, 'cause I know all the world's my family, and everywhere is home. But sometimes in the lonely hours, it weighs upon my mind, the thought of all the friends and love till I keep a joyful song inside my heavy heart, 'cause I know that it's not too late to make a brand new start. I don't know where I came from, but I know who I am. I don't know where I'm going, but I know where I stand. And I may never cease my wandering, but I'll never be alone, 'cause I know all the world's my family, and everywhere is home. Yes, I know all the world's my family, and everywhere is home. I know all the world's my family, and everywhere is home.
Joseph, I have to tell you, this is a beautiful poem.
Thank
it's
you.
A beautiful, profound poem, and of course, I feel a little bit the same. Citizens of the world, so it doesn't define us where do we live or where we were born. It has some impact in our personality and who we became. But then along our life, we live in different city, different country. We speak different languages.
Yeah.
And still, the most important thing is our value and our belief. So tell us how this song was born. At what time in your life, more or less, you were a teenager, you grew up a man, an adult, what?
No, I wrote this song when I was in my 30s. It was had kind of a long gestation period.
Yeah.
It was something I had just kind of been thinking about. And then one day that line in the chorus just kind of came to me. I don't know where I came from, but I know who I am. I don't know where I'm going, but I know where I stand. And then...
that is the most important thing in life.
Yeah. And then a friend of mine in Seattle was going to have a party and get all these musicians together. And he said, okay, I want everybody to come and sing a song about your origins. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, I should finish that song. So I sat down and finished it in about a day. And, you know, the funny thing is I kind of thought my background was very unique. And every time I perform that song, someone comes up to me and says, yeah, that's my life. I also don't know where I'm from.
Yeah, sometimes happened to me too. Or worse than that, what I'm doing here?
Yeah.
That is the question. That means that we have to leave and go to another place. But also, what does it mean in our life, home? The word home, I mean, the feeling of home to me is to feel that you are protected, that you feel safe. That is home. If you don't feel safe, that means that you can have a wonderful home, but if you don't feel safe and that there are some people, or even if you protect yourself, it's very important. And have you been composing many songs? I mean, you define yourself as a composer?
Yeah. I've written hundreds of songs. In fact, in the year 2021, I set myself the challenge of writing a rough draft of a song every day.
Oh, how nice.
So I wrote 365 songs in 1 year, and most of them were really bad, but a few of them were really good. And I still have quite a few song ideas from that year that I'm still working on. I need to knuckle down and get to work.
Yeah, I think it's a process. Mm-hmm. You know? More you write, more there are one very good, another that they're not as good, but you have a portfolio where to choose.
Well, I see I had a really big issue and kind of still do with perfectionism. So giving myself permission, just saying this is a rough draft and you know what, I'm going to do hundreds of these this year. It allowed me to get out of my own way and uncover some good ideas.
I agree. And what about censorship?
You mean self-censorship?
Yes.
Yeah, that helped a lot with that too. Because I just decided, you know what, it's okay for this song to be bad. In fact, it's preferable. Every time I wrote a bad song, I would say, great job, Joe. That's really bad.
I agree. It's good that you have that feeling. Mm-hmm. But when I said, I asked you about self-censorship, means that there are some subjects that do you want to write about everything in your life, or there are some subjects still that you feel that, no, I don't want to talk about this.
You know, do you, Consuelo, do you know the music of Joaquin Sabina?
No.
Oh, Joaquin Sabina is a...
Oh, yes, of course, Sabina, of course, I know Sabina. I saw Sabina with John Manuel Serrat in Viña del Mar. I went to the last concert that John Manuel Serrat did in Chile. Yes, Sabina. I have his CD at home here.
I listened to a lot of his music when I was living in New York City, because I think I've told you that I lived in Spain for a little bit when I was in university.
We will talk about that later.
Yes.
Yeah, but...
But anyway, so there was a period when I was almost exclusively listening to Spanish music, and I saw Joaquin Sabina perform in LA in, I think, 2011, and there was one song that he sang that has, like, where he says, I'm trying to remember what's the name of the song, I think it's called Sin Embargo, which means, like, nevertheless, where he's saying, like, I love you so much, and yet, and he's really honest. He says, there's every day there's a moment when I would cheat on you. Or when I would trade you for someone else. And he's talking about like just the vulnerability of saying, I'm not perfect. I have these weird urges and I'm not really sure what I want. And I saw him on stage saying that. And it was then that I realized, I was like, oh, I have to start telling the truth in my songs.
But sometimes we have this feeling, as a writer, I do, of self-censorship that doesn't allow us to go. And it's not that we're lying.
Yeah.
It's that we omit. We don't speak about that, or we don't describe the people, especially our parents, our closer family, or our surrounded, in a way that could be aggressive, or that we will feel that it's almost unfair to them to describe something that perhaps can be damages. And that happened to you as a musician too. This is what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, I actually don't write about my parents very much.
No,
maybe I should.
That is an example.
Yeah.
Only is the feeling, or you can write about an ex-girlfriend or a wife, or who knows. Mm-hmm. But your composition, what are the main issue, the main subject that you approach in your song?
I write about love.
Mainly love. Relationship, love. Yeah.
It used to just be relationships and love, but lately I've been writing more and more about my relationship with myself and learning how to love myself.
What sign are you in the horoscope?
Cancer.
Okay, that is the reason. Oh. We are laughing here. Okay, I remind you again, 503-231-1817. Keep going. Another song.
Okay. Well, on the topic of...
Yes.
Of self-acceptance in... Yes.
Tell us.
Back in Seattle, I met this woman who was really amazing, just really, really mature and really smart and really wise. And she kept giving me all this good advice. And at first it was like, oh, yeah, awesome. That's really good advice. Thank you. But because the place that I was in at that time and I didn't love myself, it was really hard for me to take her advice without it feeling like she was telling me that I wasn't good enough in some way.
You felt that way.
Yeah. So I wrote this song. It starts out as basically saying, stop giving me advice, but it's ultimately a song about me learning to love myself more. This is called I Don't Need Fixing. You said I ought to try breathing more deeply, and maybe I wouldn't be tense. But all that did make me more anxious, worried about my shallow breath. And you always seem to have all of the answers to questions that I didn't ask. But you have no clue what it's like to be me, or what I've been through in my past. And I don't need someone to help me be better, that only makes me feel bad. No, I don't need fixing. I don't need help. I don't need to be told how to work on myself. I don't need to be lectured, pitied, or judged. No, I don't need fixing. I just need love. There's 1,013 things I could do better, I know, 'cause I've read all the books. I've tried all the diets and changed all my habits to be the best person I could. So when I come to see you, I don't wanna talk about how to do everything right. I just wanna relax, kiss and cuddle and laugh, feel some passion and warmth in the night. And I don't need a therapist, much less a life coach. I just need some love in my life. No, I don't need fixing. I don't need help. I don't need to be told how to work on myself. I don't need to be lectured, pitied, or judged. No, I don't need fixing. I just need to stop trying so hard to be someone else, trying to change everything that I can. 'Cause the only thing I really need to do different is to love myself as I am. No, I don't need fixing. I don't need help. I don't need to be told how to work on myself. I believe that I'm already perfect enough. No, I don't need fixing at all. No, I don't need fixing. I don't need help. I don't need to be told how to work on myself. I believe that I'm already perfect enough. No, I don't need fixing. I just need love.
Another beautiful song. And of
course,
all our injury from childhood are the one who build that kind of lack of self-esteem.
Oh yeah.
That all this bad word of punishment and fail making feel along our life that we don't deserve to be loved, or that we are not intelligent enough, mm-hmm. or that we are incapable. And all of that come into our love, like art.
Yeah.
It's very hard to really trust yourself and to say, who cares? If this somebody like it, great. If doesn't like it, great. We are not here to please everybody.
That's what I came to realize, was that my perfectionism and basically my self-loathing was so intense that it was poisoning everything that I tried to do. Everything that I loved just became another way to remind myself that I wasn't good enough.
Yeah, and also with that attitude, we become very toxic.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of getting the love we want and we are and we are crying for, we put people away.
Yep.
Because we anticipate that they are going to abandon us. So before they abandon us, we leave.
Mm-hmm.
Or we said, look, I don't deserve you to love me, so please go, go, go. This is very interesting, and especially in your upbringing, in your environment, with so many brothers and a big family, in my term, big family, and with that kind of religion or a spiritual, path. It's interesting that kind of self-esteem wasn't built, you see? It was a void there.
Well, it was a cult, so they really didn't want the people in the cult to have high self-esteem, because when people have high self-esteem, they're harder to control. So
that is true. That is true, especially because they know what they want and where mm-hmm. they want to go.
Yeah,
that is very true. And what kind of style of music is your favorite, or was in the beginning in your life, and then you start changing, and how it developed? Because we go through different stage in terms of our love for music. When I was a child, it was the Beatles came much later in my life, even they are my time.
Yeah.
And what happened with you, for example?
Well, so I was born in Japan.
Oh.
And
what place in Japan?
Yokohama.
Okay, nice.
And
yeah.
we moved to India briefly when I was two. And we lived there for about a year. And then we were in Singapore for a little bit. And then we moved back to Japan and lived there until I was nine. And then when I was nine, they stopped renewing our visas. So we had to leave. And we moved to Mexico. And I think that planted in me a real love of Latin music. Because like ever since I was a teenager, first I got into like the Gypsy Kings. And I like to say...
Oh, I like the Gypsy Kings. I have a CD also.
The Gypsy Kings are like a gateway drug for Latin music.
Yeah, yeah. I
went into Latin music really hard, and I kind of never came back. Lately, I've been really into Brazilian music. I lived in Brazil for 6 months last year.
Oh, you haven't told me about that. In what place in Brazil? I live in Brazil too.
Yeah.
What place in Brazil?
I was in Rio.
Ah, in Rio. Okay. So now, what kind of your style is still now? Is moving into the bossa nova?
I've written a few songs that have a bossa nova influence, but I would say the majority of my songs are just kind of more folky.
Okay, I have that feeling too. It's very interesting. You were very exposed to Spanish and mm-hmm. now with the Portuguese, and you have no doubt that you have a good ear for languages.
Yes,
because you are a multi-language person. And that have helped you, in my humble opinion, and also the fact that you have been living in so many places, in this case Spain and Mexico, mm-hmm. and then now Brazil. And so this way you get all the experience from within about their music and their language and how to feel, don't you think?
Yes. Yeah, I do think it's important to get that kind of musical immersion.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
And what was, I will say, in term of a comparison, because in Spain, how long were you in Spain?
About 3 months.
Ah, was less than Mexico.
Yeah.
And but still, you have a very good, knowledge, or you are very more than bilingual.
Oh, thank you.
And so it's nice that you are capable to sing in another language, and mm-hmm. that you have very little accent. Even when I met you the first time, I thought that you were Spanish. no, because you were kind of like of speaking with more with the sense of the Spanish.
Yeah, it's really funny how that accent has just kind of stuck for me.
See?
I think because I was younger when I lived there, and the mind is more plastic when you're younger.
Obviously, yeah. That could be. Okay, and so how Portland has been? It has been influenced your composition, your music. How Portland has been welcomed you, the singer, the composer, the man who loved the guitar and played the guitar. It has been, like I said, welcome. Do you have a community of a counterpart, another musician with who you get together and you talk about your challenge and other experience?
Well, I do have my brother who lives here in the area, and he's a songwriter.
Yes, you said.
And I'm also a part of a samba drumming community.
Oh.
We meet on Saturdays at the Portland Community Music Center, and we play samba drumming music.
I was invited to go.
It's very fun.
But at that time, I couldn't because I was working.
I would say it's the most fun you can have with your clothes on.
Okay. I didn't understand. Okay, very good. And who are you? Are a Brazilian composer. I have several, indeed, in my car right now. I have a CD that I listen all the time because I love the language. And so what are your composer or your musician, the Brazilian, that you like now?
Oh, I really admire Jean Gilberto.
Oh, Jean Gilberto.
Jobim. Also, Marisa Monte.
Marisa Monte, no.
She's really amazing. Gilberto Gil.
Yeah.
Caetano Veloso.
Ah, Caetano, yeah. Conheço Caetano Veloso. I live in Brazil.
I also like Paulinho da Viola a lot. He's sort of a classic old style samba composer.
Yeah.
And singer.
Yeah, and did you compose a song about Brazil or your experience in Brazil?
I haven't written songs about Brazil. I have written songs that have Brazilian-influenced rhythms.
Okay, so let's do with that.
Okay.
Or you have another... It's your choice, whatever you decide.
Oh, would you rather hear one of mine or would you rather hear a Brazilian song?
I would like to hear the Brazilian and yours.
Okay. Well, since we already did two of mine, I will play a song in Portuguese for you. This is by
I got you. You're good.
Paulinho da Viola.
Caipirinha.
Pra cantar samba, não preciso de razão, pois a razão está sempre com dois lados. Amor é tema tão falado. Mas ninguém seguiu nem cumpriu a grande lei. Cada qual ama a si próprio. Liberdade e igualdade, onde estão? Não sei. Mora na filosofia. Morou Maria. Mora na filosofia. Morou Maria. Pra cantar samba, vejo o tema na lembrança. Cego é quem vê, só aonde a vista alcança. Mandei meu dicionário às favas. Mudo é quem só se comunica com palavras. Se o dia nasce, renasce o samba. Se o dia morre, revive o samba. Mora na filosofia, morou Maria. Mora na filosofia, morou Maria.
Thank you.
The next one.
Oh, you want to hear another one? Okay. This is a song that I wrote. The idea that this song came from was there was this woman that I was seeing, and I started to have feelings for her, and I wanted to express these feelings, but I realized that the words that I wanted to use have so much baggage in our culture. So I felt like I needed to explain, like, I love you, but let me explain why that doesn't mean that I'm going to, like, put a bunch of expectations on you and try to tie you down. So this is called If I Told You. I've been trying not to tell you, although I've felt it for so long. Something in the way I get so nervous when I'm around you, and yet I'm missing you the very moment that you're gone. And all the joy you give me, I can't hide. It's just the words that I've kept locked inside, 'cause I'm afraid to mess up something that's so good. 'Cause what we have is fun and wild and free, and I don't wanna crush it underneath. Three little words that tend to mean more than they should. So if I told you that I loved you, could you understand that I'm not making declarations or laying out demands? I don't have any expectations or crazy future plans, except to make you happy while I can. Wouldn't try to take away your freedom. I know you wouldn't let me anyway. Your unconstrained desire is my favorite thing about you, and I would never want to have you any other way. So you don't have to change one tiny thing, and I'm not gonna make you wear a ring to try to tell the world that you belong to me. 'Cause this is not about some ancient pledge to try to keep you in a gilded cage, and I would never want a love that isn't free. So if I told you that I loved you, could you understand I'm not making declarations or laying out demands? I don't have any expectations or crazy future plans, except to make you happy while I can. And if I told you that I loved you, could you recognize that this is just a pure expression of what I feel inside, a token of my deep affection for everything you are, that I can't keep locked up inside my heart?
Nice, very nice. And again,
thank
very,
you.
Very profound. And yeah, it's very hard to sometimes to express really mm-hmm. the way we feel.
Yeah.
And for some, usually the stereotype said that for men it's more difficult than for women. But I think it's hard for both gender to really express clearly the way we feel, or yeah. if we have some expectation, or what do we want out of a relationship? It's very hard.
Yeah.
Okay, I would like to know, have you written a journal with your life and your experience, somebody who has been all over the world? Indeed, you were right when you told us it's much better than I tell you where I haven't been. Well, you haven't been in Chile, so you should go.
I have not been to Chile yet.
Next time you go, first Brazil and then yeah. down. Brazil, Peru, Chile.
I actually have been to Peru.
Ah, you have been to Peru.
I spent about 3 weeks in Peru.
Ah, okay. In what place? Cusco or Lima?
I went to Lima, Cusco, Machu Picchu, and Trujillo.
Ah, okay. I haven't been in Trujillo. Yeah,
it's nice.
Peru is a very interesting country. Yeah. Very beautiful, and Machu Picchu is a spectacular.
To answer your question, no, yeah. I have not written sort of a memoir or a complete journal of the story of my life because it's still ongoing.
Yeah, but it's ongoing. But there's some period already that give pass to another. And somebody is calling, so try again, and we will take your call. And because you can write about. So you don't have even a trip journal or a voyage journal?
I have a journal from my trip to Spain, and I was journaling I was journaling most of the time when I was in Brazil. And I was journaling pretty much the entire time that I lived in Mexico. So I should probably dig those up.
You should come back to the program, and you should bring those journals, so this way you can read.
There might be some stories that we can't tell on the air.
And play at the same time. That would be very interesting, because the main objective of this program has been since a year ago that people start writing about their experience and their memoir or memories, and so this way they can give it to their family and share with them their experience, and it will be very interesting to know about your trips.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
And that is something that, especially that also it helped that you write, because maybe you can write every day when you are traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So that helped to bring more idea for composing.
Yeah.
It's a very good way to give the hand the kind of, very interesting. Anyway, and I think it's... what about your relationship with language? Because obviously you have a relationship with languages. Do we have a call or we don't have a call, Kerry?
Norma.
Oh, Norma.
Norma is on.
Okay.
You're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you, my friend? So you are completely recuperated. I can hear your voice better than the other day.
Yes, I'm close. Anyway, I do have two questions. Well, first of all, I'm really enjoying the music, and I enjoy the words.
Thank you, Norma.
Even too, and they remind me of that they could be written in your journal of your life, and if you put them together in the same order, and you could write something in between them. But that's a whole nother job when you're ready to do it. Nevertheless, the one you sang in Portuguese, though, I don't understand Portuguese, so if you could give us some of the lines in that in English, or just describe what it's about. And then the other question I have for you, I guess it was related to what Consuelo just asked you, which was, are you writing, are you journaling, or are you intending to write the story of your life? And so I guess you answered that for her, and then I suggested that you could file all of these songs in order, and then you would have your book.
That is a great idea.
I agree. It's a wonderful idea, and also I think it's a wonderful idea that you can tell us a little bit more about the Brazilian song that you just sang. That is beautiful, the melody and everything. So tell us a little bit about what it was about.
That would be great. Thank you.
I think it's a song about... Well, it's a song about love. And what he's saying is, in order to sing samba, I don't need a particular reason. And he says, love is a much discussed theme, but yet there's hardly anyone who has followed, let alone completed or complied with the great law, which I think he's referring to, like the golden rule. Mm-hmm. And... Everyone just loves themselves. Sorry, the Portuguese words in my head. where's he says liberty and equality, I don't know where that is, and then the chorus is saying, he's talking to someone named Maria and he's telling her to live in philosophy.
Yeah.
Okay. And then the second verse is also very beautiful because he says, to sing samba, I find the theme in my memory. It's a blind man who sees only what his eyes can see. I threw my dictionary in the garbage. It's a mute. A mute is someone who communicates only with words. And then he says, if the day is born, samba is born. And when the day ends, samba is reborn.
Mm, neat. Very good.
It's very poetic.
Okay. You see how good?
Yes.
It's not quite as straightforward as my songs. I tend to be a little more literal.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I got the picture now. And in some ways, the first verse was a prelude to the one you just finished singing about.
Oh, yeah.
About love.
Yeah, that's
it. Seemed to me
that's an interesting coincidence. Yeah.
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 Maybe that song, the Brazilian song, inspired without him knowing.
Maybe
the second, the one who he wrote, and because sometimes those words go to our unconsciousness, and suddenly they're in a paper, and we don't know where they come from.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very nice.
You answered my questions, and I'd like to hear more music.
Yes.
Oh, well, thank you so much for calling, Norma.
Thank you very much.
Okay. And
you will see him tomorrow, my dear, because he is going to be there also with us. Okay,
yes,
I do appreciate it. I am so happy to know that you are much better and feeling better. So see you tomorrow. Drive carefully.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Oh, go ahead. Oh. Were you going to say something? Oh, no, I'm just tuning. You can keep talking while I talk.
Yeah, I was thinking about your relationship with languages because you are very, very good. And so I think, obviously, to have the Spanish as a second language was something that it has been helping you to expand your portfolio of language that you speak, because you got to Brazil and you pick it up the Portuguese quite faster.
I think so. I think the thing about Portuguese and Spanish is that they're very similar and yet also very different. So in some ways, knowing Spanish helps, and it hinders you at the same time.
I agree. I hate it.
And portuñol would come out.
Yeah, this is what we call in Chile, portuñol. Exactly right. And it's the same for the Brazilian and for us, the one who speaks Spanish, because it's so confusing. And sometimes, believe it or not, as Joseph, I found the Portuguese that it has so much, I would say, rhythm, like the French.
Yeah.
Like the French. Mm-hmm. And that is so nice. Okay, are you ready now?
Oh, did you want me to sing another song?
Yes. We are here to sing.
Okay. What do you want?
I can see here, Carrie is all moving and dancing, happy as can be.
Yeah, our studio engineer Carrie is working really hard tonight.
Why not? What is the name of this song?
I guess since I haven't sung a song in Spanish yet, I will do that. This is
nice.
This is a beautiful song by Joaquin Sabina, who we were talking about earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this song is called Noches de Boda, which means
wedding night.
And the chorus, it's basically a song about, with a lot of positive sentiments, and the chorus says, may every night be a wedding night, and may every moon be a honeymoon.
Oh, neat.
Que el maquillaje no apague tu risa, que el equipaje no lastre tus alas, que el calendario no venga con prisas, que el diccionario detenga las balas, que las persianas corrijan la aurora, que gane el quiero la guerra del puedo, que los que esperan no cuenten las horas, que los que matan se mueran de miedo, que el fin del mundo te pille bailando, que el escenario te tiña las canas, que nunca sepas ni cómo ni cuándo, ni siento volando ni ayer ni mañana, que el corazón no se pase de moda, que los otoños te doren la piel, que cada noche sea noche de bodas, que no se ponga la luna de miel, que todas las noches sean noches de boda, que todas las lunas sean lunas de miel, que las verdades no tengan complejos, que las mentiras parezcan mentiras, que no te den la razón los espejos, que te aproveche mirar lo que miras, que no se ocupe de ti el desamparo, que cada cena sea tu última cena, que ser valiente no salga tan caro, que ser cobarde no valga la pena, que no te compre por menos de nada, que no te vendan amor sin espinas, que no te duerman con cuentos de hadas, que no te cierren el bar de la esquina, que el corazón no se pase de moda, que los otoños te doren la piel, que cada noche sea noche de bodas, que no se ponga la luna de miel, que todas las noches sean noches de boda, que todas las lunas sean lunas de miel, que todas las noches sean noches de boda, que todas las lunas sean lunas de miel.
I like Sabina very much, and like I told you, I have the some of this CD, and he is much more, I will say, aggressive with the word, and brutal than Joan Manuel Serrat.
Yeah,
Joan Manuel Serrat is per se a very romantic poet, and a beautiful singer, and is. Both of them. That is a reason because they were touring the world together. And but I want to know more. First, I want to know, and I am sure the people who are our wonderful audience, they want to know where they can find your CDs, or where they can connect with you, ask you where to buy your CD, or tell about how are you showing your music and your composition, and tell about.
Okay, well, you can find me on Instagram at Joseph Dane Music, Facebook, same thing, Facebook/Joseph Dane Music. My music is also on YouTube, CD Baby, iTunes, and Spotify. If you go to Spotify, just search Joseph Dane. Dragonfly is the name of the album. It might come up faster if you add the name of the album.
Yeah, and they can write to you and Instagram?
You can write to me at to me on Instagram. You can also send me an email, joe@josephdane.com.
Yeah, and I understand that you are given also a presentation that you can go to different event. Am I right? I mean to sing, obviously.
I've been doing a lot of...
entertainment?
I've been doing a lot of private events
recently. Yes, this is what I meant.
Yes. I don't... Let me check my calendar. I might have some events coming up that are open to the public. One second. I believe in November I'm playing at a winery.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. November 23rd. I'll be playing at a winery in Washington. It's called 14 Acres Winery. Anybody who wants to can come.
And it's in the state of Washington.
Yes. Oh, just nice. A little bit north of Vancouver.
Oh, very good. It's good to know. So our audience can go there and listen to you and have a wonderful wine and a good evening.
Yeah.
That is nice. I think it's very pleasant to listen your song and to listen to you, so to have you as an event, is very pleasant and nice also that you bring all these languages.
And also on the 15th of this month, that's a Friday, I'll be playing at Amavi, which is a small wine room on the waterfront in Vancouver.
That's
also open to the public.
Nice. Yeah, we should repeat that. Mm-hmm. The first and the second, so this way our audience, they can start taking note, or they know that they can look. So the Instagram is Joseph.
Yeah, I'll post that on my Instagram too.
Joseph Dane.
Joseph Dane Music.
Joseph Dane Music. And so between the, where do you have any plan to go to South America again or nearby, I mean, for this next year already? Oh no.
Well,
you
I would
to
like
go in
to.
The summer there.
I'm already starting to book gigs here in the Portland area for the summer.
Yeah.
But maybe I can sneak away for a month or two to go to Rio and see my friends.
But that is the summer here.
That's
the
summer here.
Oh,
you mean the summer down there?
Yes.
Yeah, I would say it's definitely a possibility.
Yes, yes. So you make so many friends in Rio?
I had a lot of friends. I got really lucky. I rented an apartment from this guy who was my age and was a musician.
Oh.
So, and he had a bunch of other guys my age who would get together and drink beer and play samba and go dancing. It was a great time.
Nice. So you were very welcome. Mm-hmm. Well, they are very kind. And
they are.
They, I found it, Brazilian are... I might say they have a joie de vivre. Mm-hmm. They know how to enjoy life.
They really do.
And they sometimes don't follow commitment very much. And they're everything, in my opinion, first is soccer, then is caipirinha, and then is sex. Mm-hmm. And music.
I didn't think you were going to say it.
Of course. I live there, so I know exactly. Okay, there's something else that you would like to share with us, Joseph, in relation to your life. Are your parents still alive?
Oh, yeah, both my parents are still alive.
Are they still playing guitar? What they think about you?
They're very happy that I am pursuing my dream.
Oh, how nice.
And I feel very supported.
They live here?
Yeah, they
in
live
Portland?
Just south of Portland in Wilsonville.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah.
So they're close by. Maybe they're listening to you today.
Yeah,
that would be nice.
So, you know, I think my parents, well, also growing up in the cult, there were a lot of people that spoke other languages. So I think for a lot of Americans, they think of that as something that's kind of impossible. And I always saw that as something that was possible, because my parents both spoke Japanese.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So you're like my family.
Yeah.
Your family has no doubt their talent for languages.
Yeah.
Yeah, because that is a talent.
Mm-hmm.
No, everybody have that capacity.
Yeah.
And maybe that is a reason also because they went around, one of more reason to they were taking advantage of and learning another language and wanted to learn. That is the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I agree. I think, music, this is when people said, oh, I want to learn Spanish, or I want to learn French. I said, watch... program into the TV, read, and listen to the music.
Yep. That was how I learned Spanish.
Just
immersion.
Yeah. And what about your experience in Mexico?
Mexico, that was a really amazing experience. I spent a long time there. I knew a lot of people. I knew a lot of musicians in Puerto Vallarta. And I remember one time, I think it was Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, we all got together and had a party, and the first thing they did was start setting up microphones and speakers because everybody wanted to play music. And I just thought, wow, this is the best job in the world, because I don't think you get a group of dentists together on their day off. I don't think they start checking each other's teeth. I think that's how you know it's the best job in the world, because even on their days off, we do it for free. Yeah.
Nice. Okay, we are going to start finishing our program.
Okay.
And I want to thank you. I am so happy that I invite you. And I want you to come back. We have had a wonderful time with your music, with you. And I am so proud that you made this decision, not about coming here, sino take the time and put the time into your talent and your vocation, I might say.
Yeah.
And because the way how you do it, you are contributing to peace and to better understanding. And the fact that you are able to speak all those languages bring a lot of people together, and that is wonderful.
Oh,
so I am very, very happy that I had the idea to bring you, and you have been very profound. Also, many of your songs are the one you sung here, saying are profound in the subject, the way how you write it, and the music. I don't know. I love music, and it's something that I cannot be without.
I agree.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you want to say something else about where to find you and the places where you will be?
Oh, well, like we said, you can find my music on CD Baby, Spotify, iTunes, YouTube. Just search for Joseph Dane. Maybe Joseph Dane Dragonfly is the name of my first album. And you can also find me on Instagram and Facebook, just Joseph Dane Music. And if you want to see me perform, I'll be playing at Amavi Winery on the Vancouver waterfront on Friday, November 15th, and then also at 14 Acres Winery on the 23rd, which is a Saturday. It's about 5 p.m. or 6 p.m.
Very good. Okay, we will be back in November 15, Friday. That will be our next program, and I don't know yet who is going to be our guest. And I would like to have some feedback from you. You can write to the radio and let me know how much did you enjoy the show. Thank you very much.
You are listening to KBOO Portland.
Are you a fan of early rock and roll, doo-wop, rhythm and blues, and 70s rock? If so, The Roots of Rock and Roll is the show for you, and KBOO Portland is the place to be Friday afternoon.